Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
All right, so Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm your host, Martin Weiss, joined here with my co-host from across the pond right now, Will Blackman. Will, man, I don't know about you, but everybody has said that this season hasn't been great. They haven't been enjoying. I have been enjoying NFL football this year. I remember when it wasn't here just 7 short weeks ago, and I'm enjoying watching the competition play out. And I don't necessarily mind that it feels like the entire league is 4-2 or 2-4, with the exceptions of a few teams. I don't know. What say you?
You know what? Before I get into this, because I do agree with you, I love the fact that this season is one of the most competitive seasons I have witnessed. But I got a problem with Sal, bro.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not calling him Cousins. I'm calling him Sal. Okay? Just straight up. Was it Salvatore? Is that his full name, Salvatore?
It could be Salvatore for right now. Because until that man makes right, he's not family anymore.
Listen. I went on the site. I was like, let me check that out, in our Lemon Pepper site. And it says you're the only host. Your picture's on there, and that's it. Just you. I'm just scraps. Sal Iacono, government. All right?
I'm sure now when he hears that will be rectified very quickly.
Immediately. But, Mike, Meatball, Spaghetti, don't do nothing. Anyhow.
He was going to tell Meatballs or Spaghetti to go ahead and fix that. That's what the recommendation would be.
But back to your point, yes, I'm super thrilled about this season. I love it truly fits the term any given Sunday. You just never know what's gonna happen, who's gonna win. I feel like the only team really that's making it clear right now after the loss to Miami, Buffalo, is kind of letting people know, like, all right, like, no more BS. Like, let's get this going. So, but yeah, I love it. I understand they want the high scoring games, but I think what happens is the primetime games are a letdown for a lot of people. I think that's what's happening. They're so focused on those, and those are such a letdown. But the whole slate of games on Sundays, they're exciting to me.
So, I think really when we have to look through the 6 weeks that we've already seen so far going into week 7, we can blame this all on Russell Wilson.
No, we can't.
Because if the Broncos weren't in primetime five times of 6 weeks, but your primetime game point, I think, is well taken, because they do stand alone. There's nothing you can flip the channel to. Like, if you got at, like, imagine if at 4:25 on Sunday last week, you had to watch the Panthers and the Rams, and that's it. Meanwhile, the Bills and the Chiefs are playing, and you can't, but Panthers and Rams is all you can lock into. That'd be a terrifying proposition, but. Speaking of the Rams, DeSean Jackson, formerly of, what is it, the Eagles, the Washington football team, the Buccaneers, the Rams, and the Raiders, maybe, I think in that order, I might be wrong, but he's now a Raven. I saw DeSean Jackson 3 weeks ago at a high school football game, and he looked like he was in good enough shape, but I didn't know that he was going to be going to play football just 3 weeks later. I don't know if, like, I'm sure he could still run, so I'm sure that's why they signed him. But
that's exactly why.
Yeah. But ultimately, the Ravens have had double digit leads in every loss they've had so far. I think in every game they're 3-3. Like, is this team going to go on a run, or is it time to hit the panic button?
Oh, you know what? I give it another week. Right now, they're still up. They're at 500, right? So it is not time to hit the panic button yet. They're at 500, but we will see what happens this week versus Cleveland versus a division opponent. There's just a lot of weird, just like things going on, like things that just we can't point out. Like you said, they're blowing leads. But just to get back quickly about the DeSean Jackson, yeah, he's really there to just be a threat, truly.
Sure. I mean,
his thing is he can still run. Why are you signing a 35-year-old receiver? Because he can still run. He's going to be there. They're going to have to respect it, and hopefully it will open up for other intermediate routes that they're trying to do versus him just throwing to Mark Andrews every single play. But yeah, I would just, it makes me nervous for, like, Lamar Jackson looks really unsettled. And the Ravens secondary looks really unsettled. So, which is surprising because you have some veteran Pro Bowlers back there. And then for Lamar, I mean, he's a former MVP. So,
yeah,
like I said, I'm going to give it one more week to see what happens because they're known for having a pretty good culture over there and being able to bounce back when things aren't going well. So I won't hit it just yet, but I am putting that button on the desk like I'm at Buffalo Wild Wings. It is right here. That is not a plug.
Nah.
The thing that I'm watching this team, it seems to me that, like, all right, so they said, you know, the best way to keep Michael Jordan from scoring 20 points a game is to have Dean Smith coach him and put him in the four corners offense, right? So they're just running the clock out time in, time out. And I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is Michael Jordan, but what I am saying is that he's one of the most electrifying football players with the ball in his hands that we've seen, and I mean, probably in the history of this league, but definitely in the last 20 years, right? As I understand football, didn't play it at a high level like you did, but as I understand football, the hardest thing for defenders to do, as I've been told, is to ascertain whether or not it's going to be a run or a pass. That's like the first thing to do. And once you, like, if you get that wrong, then it's really hard to get the rest of everything else right, right, on that play. Lamar Jackson, to me, outside of Kyler Murray, provides the most unique dual threat run pass option in the NFL. And it seems to me, and it's per your tweet, it seems to you that they're not getting enough out of him. I agree. What do you think might be the solution?
You know what? The thing is that he's, my whole thing with him is like, okay, we've seen the electric stuff he can do. And the fact that he's still a young quarterback in his early 20s, mm-hmm. like, okay, now let's try to elevate and develop this dude so that he can be really good for a long time. Because eventually, everything can't be a crazy electric play. You know, now there's film on people. There's ways to, like, stop them. There's ways to confuse them. There's ways to take people away. So how can we develop him into a more prolific, just a quarterback in general? You look at, for example, I take, like, Josh Allen. Josh Allen never threw for 50% over 50% or close to 60% in his whole life until he went to Buffalo, and then they developed him because he already had these crazy gifts that he can do in terms of throw the ball 70 yards, and he can run just as well as anybody. You know, not scramble. He can legit, if you want to call quarterback runs, he can call quarterback runs and do damage. You see Mahomes already, you know, he had the arm, but they developed him into a better quarterback. He even admitted on the shop with LeBron, he was like, I'm still learning how to read routes. He admitted, I'm still trying to learn how to read defenses and see what's going on.
And this is after he's been in the Super Bowl. Like, after he's shown.
He already won a Super Bowl and MVP. Success.
Yeah, he's yeah. shown these most out of play league and had and admitted right. freely with no, like, hey, I'm reading defenses, you know, who's got time for that?
Right. So my thing for Lamar is, like, let's not keep limiting him because you're like, I'm just going to do what I know to help him in terms of, like, what he can do well. Let's continue to develop him. You have a whole entire offseason to develop him because it's not a matter he can't throw the football. He can throw the football just as well as whoever. Just develop him so he can just be more prolific where he doesn't have to make all these extraordinary plays every single time. You watch the Chiefs in the Bills. Josh Allen got busy the last 2 minutes. That's when he was like, all right, I don't need the playbook. Let me go do my thing. But before that, he was pretty prolific throughout the whole game. So I just feel like because of his skill set, I understand you don't want to make him into something he's not. I'm not saying that. I'm saying try to find more ways to help him evolve just from a overall football quarterback standpoint. And I don't know if, I feel like right now Greg Roman is not allowing him to do that. I'm not saying get rid of Greg Roman. I'm saying maybe find someone, bring in another coordinator, like keep him there because he's really good for the run game. He's really good for the run mm-hmm. game. We know that. But bring in somebody who can help develop him into a better quarterback.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, he came on the scene as a rookie and went crazy. Second year player went crazy. But it hasn't really seemed to me that he has had an incredible amount of growth. Like, I feel like some of the same things I saw then, I still see now. Whereas, like,
right.
And I mean, don't get me wrong.
at that time, you saw those things. He was playing at MVP level, right? So it's like, it's very much talking to, we're nitpicking, right? We're talking about the temperature of the dish, not the contents, right? If the food is good, that's not the question. It's like, is this hot enough? Is this cold? Like, you know, that's really kind of where it is with him. But I mean, I agree, because I would have thought by now that he would have been, and the, not only that, everything on the Ravens offense looks difficult. Like, it, unless Lamar does something crazy, and or it's like that, like you said, like the, to Mark Andrews, and it's like a, you know, a 7 yard out or turn, I mean, a 5 yard, just turn around and curl type deal or whatever. Like, it just looks hard. They look like very, they don't look like they got a former MVP at quarterback. And it's not necessarily, in my opinion, because they don't, like, he doesn't, not playing like an MVP, although he's not. But you know what? Hell, as I said that right now, what former MVP besides Patrick Mahomes, who plays quarterback, is playing like he's the former MVP? Like, it's not Tom Brady, and it's not Aaron Rodgers, and unfortunately, it's not Lamar Jackson.
Well, Aaron, he already went back to back. I mean, come on now. Like,
not coming at him,
I know what you mean. What you mean.
I'm talking about for this year. Like, what former MVP this season has really been? I think that's probably why people say the league sucks this year.
No, and Lamar's defense too. Like, sure, he could have better weapons. There's been some health issues on offense, you know, to start the year off. But I feel like, here's the thing. When you start doing extraordinary things, teams are spending the entire offseason to figure out how to take away that. They're trying to figure out everything they can do to not let you have another successful season. So what you do is you continue to evolve yourself, develop yourself, and find ways to beat other teams to the punch. You know, I think he did that a little bit last year, because he came out the gate throwing for 400 yards and everybody like, all right, you think I'm going to run? Well, I'm just going to light you up over top.
Right.
And then losing Hollywood Brown, you know, was a big deal. So, but still, how can I find ways to continue to evolve despite, you know, the things like that? And coaches can really make or break players. Like, that's just the truth. So,
man, when you talk about coaches making or breaking players, and I just go to Cliff Kingsbury, because I see Kyler Murray and I just want him to be free from I just want him to be free. Like, I don't know how much of that Seattle Arizona game you watched. Like, you probably watched quite a bit of it. I know you're fanatic like me.
I watched the whole thing. Yeah,
but that offense for the Arizona Cardinals offense is so uninspiring. That, like, I mean, the Seahawks defense is by no great shakes. Like, they're not good. They're all right. Their offense has been how they've been able to have success this season so far. But the Cardinals, before last week, you know how many first quarter points they had scored? None. You know how many first half? Like, none. Zero. In 5 weeks. And this is like, so just, like, to me, juxtapose that with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson last night. The first, what, the 20 plays, Russ is cooking, and then everything falls off. Like, the whole I thought you were supposed to be writing the game script. You script your first 15 plays, and that's like the best you, you know, a lot of times that's the best teams look. Cliff Kingsbury scripts 15 plays, and then it's the worst movie of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's it's funny. I was talking to some buddies about this, some NFL friends, about, you know, if when people are on Kyler Murray about him not studying and not being a good student, basically he's leaving the building early. Well, if Kyler Murray's leaving the building early, you know who else is leaving the building early? Cliff. Everybody else is leaving. Because quarterbacks and coordinators are tied to the hip. They're together watching film all day long. So why would Kyler be out the building and Cliff staying there? Like, everyone's leaving the building. And you can tell, because when they line up, it looks like street ball. Straight up, like there aren't any set specific concept. Every time you watch a Cardinals highlight, you got the Kyler Murray running around like a bad child. Mm-hmm. Every time, there is no need, because he's another one who can sling the football just as good as anybody, and he happens to have the ability to run like crazy too. Like, that's what these quarterbacks are able to do. I go back to Mahomes. And I go back to Josh Allen. If they need to get yards with their legs, they're going to do that. They're going to do it. But they're able to sit back here and get it done in the pocket, because they have guys that know what they're doing with the weapons that they have.
Speaking of weapons that they have, they just traded for Robbie Anderson. Like, have you ever been on the side? First of all, I know you ain't never do no nothing like Robbie Anderson, because I would have seen it. But have you ever been on the sideline when like that type of dispute has occurred? Like, I know for a fact that like okay, Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, the punch, maybe that's a little bit too far. But the idea that like coaches and players argue and practice in games and stuff like that, obviously it's a contentious environment. And plus, like in this job that doesn't exist in other people's jobs, there's defense here or there's offense. Like there's another group of people trying to stop you from what you're trying to accomplish, right? So of course, whenever you have that, there's going to be friction and all types of stuff. But have you ever seen a guy like been on the sidelines and see a guy, you know, and a position coach go in like that on each other?
Nah, but I seen Vernon Davis get sent to the locker room by Coach Singletary. Can't coach with him. Can't do it. Won't do it. Nah, I've seen so many like heated discussions on the sideline, but not to the point where they had to send a dude to the locker room. I will say this. Every team I've been on, we had a pretty good culture. All right, I'm just gonna say that, and part of it was because I was there. You know what I'm saying? I'm a good culture guy. Sure. However, on the sideline, but I will say that I was not the first and last out. I would leave and then come back later that night and watch tape. I got the heck out of there so I can go home and relax. But I do remember, like in Washington, we did have a crazy situation. When Kurt was going to take a knee, he kept throwing a fade to Pierre Garçon. Pierre didn't run the route versus Philly. And it was just some miscommunication going on. And then the locker room, it got pretty heated in the locker room. And what was funny is we came out after all that argument, we ended up beating Philly and winning the division. So, I don't know what Coach said to Robbie. And I don't know if something happened beforehand, before they even got there. For Robbie to feel a type of way, for you to snap at somebody that had to be some history like that, I don't think this Robbie just going to go off on somebody like that. Because that's number one thing. I remember Charles Woodson told me that. He was like, because when I first got to Green Bay, Charles got into a beef with a lot of coaches. And he said, the first thing my mom told me, he was like, look, like people are going to, they can be a coach, but at the same time, we're all adults. So No one's going to talk to you crazy because we're all grown men. So again, I understand the whole hierarchy, like you're a coach, but at that level, like, nah, son, like we all adults. I respect you because you're my coach, but don't try to come at me crazy. And also it depends too, because I remember one time a coach said something to me, and when I was in Green Bay, I was a rookie, and I snapped back at the coach. And then I remember Al Harris pulled me aside and he's like, look, I hear you, like you're in the right, but sometimes, Black, he said, sometimes you just gotta play the game.
Right.
And I was like, he's like, play the game, like just let him have his thing. Because at the end of the day, because you're a young guy, it's going to be his word over yours, regardless how you feel. Unless you see Wood or you're myself or somebody else, then okay. But you're still a young guy, you know, unless he's like ultra disrespectful. When I felt kind of he was, but it wasn't, you know, I could have been quiet.
Or at least there's a different way to go about handling a situation as opposed to you barking back in this moment is not going to get the desired result that you're looking for.
No doubt about it. Exactly.
So, yeah, and with that, obviously Robbie Anderson traded to those Arizona Cardinals. Christian McCaffrey rumored that, you know, he might, the asking price is 2 first round picks, which, you know, I would like $1 million too. You know what I'm saying? if we're just giving things away, you know, I mean, that's absolutely absurd. But with this, Cam Akers on the trade block, like, do you think that there is a trade that could be made that would change the fortunes of a team? Like, I don't know if Cam Akers to Baltimore or like, I don't see like Christian McCaffrey to Buffalo. Like, I've seen people have been linking Christian McCaffrey seemingly to every team that seems to have trouble running the ball. But I don't think 2 first round picks, first of all, is insane. Second of all, I'm on the Panthers.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, 2 first round picks. But 2 first round picks is pretty steep. Now, if you have a team that's ready made, like they're ready to rock, and you're kind of like what the Rams was doing, they were just giving away their picks so they can get to the Super Bowl. You know, now if you're in that situation, then sure. And the only team I can see right now that's in that situation is Buffalo. I knocked on the door in March. I got a receipt tweet out there saying like, man, if Buffalo doesn't trade for CMC already, because I think he's just like that one more thing that could just really make, I mean, they're already dangerous, but he will make them terrifying. But that's really the only team I can see like doing something like that. I know people talk about Kansas City possibility, but they have a loaded backfield that can do some special things. But I wouldn't give up to for CMC, especially you just don't know. Every week he's on the injury report and you just don't know. So, but for Cam Akers, I can see a Miami situation. I could see a New England situation. You know what I mean? I could see something like that for Cam Akers, because apparently all it is about him getting a fresh start. But they, because Henderson is the guy that they rely on.
I'm wondering, is it just like it just seems to be more contentious than just playing time? But is it simply just that with Cam Akers? Because that's the way everything seems to be reported. But like generally, if a guy is upset about his playing time, he still dressed. It's like he's still be involved with the, like, it seems to me. To me, it seems like a very NBA-ish, and like they have sent Cam Akers away from the facility, and Cam Akers is now sitting at home.
Yeah, I don't know. They make it seem like he needs a fresh start, but from what? Like, perhaps is the offense too complex? You know what I'm saying? Is there something he's not understanding? Is this, you know, is this something where they're just like giving up on him? You know what I mean? Because when I looked at him last year, I'm like, man, this dude can be a 13 to 1500 yard type of back. And I know he had some problems holding on to the football and stuff like that. So I just look at it like, man, maybe they just look at it. They're like, hey, he's not a good fit, and he has some value. Perhaps we can get some picks back for him. That's how I see it.
Yeah, and
because Henderson is the reliable guy right now, and they're not a really run heavy team like that. They're a team where, hey, let's get a little bit of momentum and then go into the play action.
Yeah, well, they're a team that says let's pass the ball to Cooper Kupp as many times as we can. So you just said about needing to simple, or maybe the offense maybe is too complex for Cam Akers. How I have never learned a football playbook and absolutely never had to execute it on the field. How complex are some of these complex offenses to the where the point that Aaron Rodgers is going to a press conference and say the word simplify over 25 times in a 15-minute period in time? Like how hard is it? And like with the caveat that maybe some of these football players aren't Rhodes scholars.
Well, I don't know. I don't, I think it's just a matter of him getting on the same page. And I know people are going to go back to like, well, he should have been there all offseason. And that's a fair point. Perhaps he should have been there with his young receivers all offseason. Because I remember I had a talk earlier today with Torrey Holt. And we were talking about how when he was in college, he actually had a really good teacher. So that when he transitioned to the NFL, when he was on the greatest show on turf, they were like, damn, bro, like you already know some of this stuff. You already understand how to study. You understand concepts and defenses. And sometimes it all depends on who it is. Like when I came in, I knew some football, but I was kind of like just a really good athlete who just knew how to play football. I wasn't like a really big student. And so you just never know how guys were taught coming into going from college, coming into the NFL. So perhaps, yes, these guys are really good athletes and good players. But in terms of retaining information, understanding the same language and getting on the same page, then he's like, oh, you know, perhaps we need to scale back a lot. You know, and really make it simple. So I think it just comes down to him spending more time with those guys and trying to get it. Because I it doesn't seem complex, but I just think, you know, he's had receivers where they've been together for a long time. So it was kind of like he had like certain languages and certain signals and certain looks where they were on the same page.
I guess so. Like you told me week one, you know, you don't have to practice go balls. Like that shouldn't be practice. That should be something that you should just be able to say,
right?
Hey, you run straight, I'm gonna throw it to you. Bring it down. But that Packers offense is terrible right now. Like it's really wild to see that the Packers, if the Browns and the Lions weren't so damn bad, like you would have to really wonder if the Packers could make the playoffs like right now,
right?
With the way the Vikings have been playing and eking out wins,
at the end of the day, it's not how good it looks. It's what the record is, you know, whenever the wins and losses are all settled. But so Tom Brady goes to Robert Kraft's wedding on Friday night. First of all, I said that wrong because Tom Brady didn't go to Robert Kraft's wedding. Robert Kraft's wedding was some other period in time. Tom Brady goes to a party that Robert Kraft threw to make a surprise announcement that he had gotten married some other period in time. Because here's the real rub. Rob Kraft, you would expect to be, you know, a football fan, football guy, you would expect, right? Why would you get married in the fall, first of all? Because now, if you get married in the fall, your wedding anniversary is in the fall. So now every year, you have set up conflict between you and week five. Congratulations.
No, it's funny. It's so funny you say that. It's so funny you say that because my best friend who he was planning a wedding and he had it in September. And I'm like, yo, he was like, oh, that's right. You're in season. I was like, yeah, bro. So he intentionally had his wedding in May so I could be there and I'm in it.
See,
And if you notice too, a lot of pro athletes have like July and June weddings because that's the only time we have freedom to do anything wedding related.
In fact,
it's during that time.
Cross sports for a moment. Alex Caruso missed his sister's wedding, which she had scheduled in June because that way he would be out of the season by then. It was after the finals. He would have been out of the season. However, COVID, so instead he missed it because he was in the bubble. And if he had left the bubble, he wouldn't have been able to come back into the bubble or whatever the situation would have been. He said, I'm not doing it. I'm staying here. I'll send you a gift. Love you, sis. Tom Brady had no time for that. Tom Brady flies, and I don't have a problem with Tom Brady flying to the wedding party, even though I think it's odd. I have a bigger problem with the idea that you have a party to celebrate the wedding you already had. You should have a wedding and then the party, boom, kind of like, one after the other. But it feels weird to me that somebody with more money than God, as I imagine Tom Brady got, could fly to Boston, go to the party, and then not go back to Tampa. I mean, I understand it's a lot of travel, but go back to Tampa to then travel with the team when it seems as if, especially from last season with Urban Meyer not flying back with the team, traveling with the team seems like it's a very, very important thing pre and post football games.
Look, Deion did both in one game and one day. He played both football and baseball, so it could be done.
So, but did Deion yell at the safeties and cornerbacks on the other side of him when they let pass? Like, is that how that went? Like, was Deion in the linebackers' faces like, man, y'all need to get up here and stop the run? I'm making too many tackles.
He can do that, though. Them boys got rings because he showed up, all right? Them boys got rings. Them boys got rings, all right?
I hear what you said.
That gives him some time. That gives him, if they didn't win anything and he was there barking, he still has some power. But them boys got rings, okay? Them boys are set for life. There's some dudes over there, okay? All right. But he was encouraging at first. Like, guys, we're better than this. And then, boom, he went in. All right. It's not about, oh, you didn't come on Friday, so don't be talking like them boys got rings. Shut up. Line up.
So you telling me that nobody had a side eye at all when they get on the plane. They go to Saturday walkthrough, and whoever's the backup quarterback for the Bucs is escaping me. It's running with the starting
man,
team.
Man, it's Brady. We got Brady. If we didn't have Brady, we ain't have a chance. What else we got?
What we got is a Buccaneers offense that has only scored over 30 points once this season with Tom Brady. They got Tom Brady now, and I saw the faces on them offensive linemen, and they didn't necessarily look like they were being too receptive to what Tom Brady had going on.
They'll be all right, man. They'll be all right.
All right, man. Before we pick some games for this week, let's take a quick break. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL, CZRFULL, and place your first bet. If you win, congratulations. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 rewards credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537, or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-gambler.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, DC, Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. Ontario, visit connectsontario.ca or call 1-866-531-2600 or text connects to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Let's take a quick break.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, well, Thursday Night Football, the aforementioned Cliff Kingsbury and the New Orleans Saints do battle. Will it be Andy Dalton? Will it be Jameis Winston? Will it be Taysom Hill? Probably some combination of two of those three names playing for the New Orleans Saints at quarterback, right? Robbie Anderson making his Arizona Cardinal debut. The Saints right now, 1.5-point underdogs, total 45. Who do you think wins this game, or who do you think covers?
I got Arizona. I think... D-Hop comes back too, right? Doesn't he?
This is his first game back. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they're gonna come alive. They're gonna get lit. I got Arizona. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm taking the Saints here, in big part because of everything I just said about Kyler Murray and this Cardinals offense is atrocious. And while I don't think the Saints offense is gonna go off, I kind of think that it's gonna be a big run game, slow game. And the Cardinals are not that type of offense. They want to be quick strike, and they're going to quickly strike out against the Saints, who should have won last week against the Bengals. I'm taking the Saints to cover there. The New York Football Giants, Will Blatt. Fresh off beating Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, coming back from 10 down in the fourth quarter. I mean, one of the good stories in the NFL this year, the New York Giants. 3-point underdogs to the Jaguars.
The disrespect. Give me the Giants. The disrespect.
To which side? I just want to make sure because sometimes your picks be. I'm wondering
I got Giants covering.
Okay.
The Giants.
I think so too. I think they're just a better football team.
Are you kidding me?
They're just a better football team. And I think they're a better coach. And while the thing that I like about the Giants.
I'm going to say they're better coached. I mean, they're both pretty competitive, but.
Well, Giants have better players. This is why I say the Giants might be better coached than the Jaguars, but because the Giants seem to be making their comebacks and drives, and their whole strategy seems to be like, let's keep it close. They make decisions throughout the game that give them opportunities to win the game in the end. And I think that's a lot of coaches are, you could probably fault and say they get lucky a lot of times, whereas like, the Giants have pretty much the exact same roster as they had with Joe Judge. They have no name brand wide receivers. And Saquon Barkley's left two of these six games injured already. And, you know, the train keeps on rolling.
So that's why I say I think the Giants might be better coached. Because you see the Jaguars, they had 220-point wins and then looked, you know, completely flipped over right after. But I like the Giants to cover and maybe even win out right here. But I'm definitely taking a 3. AFC South matchup, the Colts are 3-point dogs against the Titans. Another total of 42.5. Indianapolis burned me so bad last week. That touchdown killed me. And also, not only did it kill me, Will, you know what else it did?
Oh, man.
It knocked me out of the number one spot in the extra points pick'em pool. I, your co-host, Martin Weiss, me, the one and only, was number one from week one to now. Then I picked.
Yeah, switched. That touchdown saved me.
Well, it saved you from going, what, 4-13 to 5-12? Congratulations. You really killed
it. Something like that. Yeah, it's all good. I won, but we're talking about this game, so I won this game.
We are talking about this. What side are you on here?
Oh, so I'm going with Indy again. I mean, right now they had two strong wins. You saw Coach Frank Wright damn near cry after the speech. So, yeah, I got the Colts covering here.
Yeah, I like the Colts too. I don't know if they figured something out with their offensive line or not, but I do say this. You know, Jonathan Taylor down, Naheem Hines down. What do they do? Now they turn to that guy Jackson. Can't remember his first name right now. The running back Jackson.
And Phil Lindsay's there too. Deion Jackson, right? His name?
Deion Jackson. Yep, Deion. And I mean, he was running angry and he was running hard. And this Titans team.
He was running angry.
I don't like this Titans team, man. I think they had a bad
offense. I don't like
season.
This Titans team at all.
Why do you not like them?
I don't know. I just don't even know who's on the team anymore. I just don't want to watch the offense. I don't. I like their defense. They're fun. You know, it's cool to see Robert Woods, you know, do his thing once in a while. But other than that.
Okay. I got you. I'll pick
dry.
One last game before we get into the lemon pepper parlays. I'm going back to the well, Will. I have picked the Baltimore Ravens all 6 weeks so far this season. And I'm picking them again to cover 6.5 against the Browns. The Browns coming back down to earth. Jacoby Brissett was one of the better quarterbacks in the AFC for the first, 4 weeks of the season. He's starting to come back down. The Ravens, double-digit leads in every damn game, Will. Every game. Double-digit
leads. They're going to hold on to this one?
I'm holding on to it. And you know what else? The Ravens are going to hold on to the double-digit lead that they have in the fourth quarter of this one. They win this game by 10, but they definitely covered a 6.5.
Yeah, I got you on that too.
I don't know what Kevin Stefanski's really doing. But I tweeted got his coach of the year.
That here's the
like
thing.
Kevin Stefanski's coach of the year was going to feel like Matt Nagy's coach of the year. And I feel like I'm tracking to the right direction there.
Bro, here's the thing. It's one thing to call plays, but it's also another thing to be a leader of men. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, you have this offense, you can call plays. But at the end of the day, can you lead? Can you like create a culture where like guys are just battling no matter what? You know what I mean? I mean, you look at Coach Tomlin. He walks around there all day. He doesn't call anything. But he gets it done.
Yeah, he's just in charge.
He finds a way to he's in charge.
Like, what's
he finds
his job?
A way to get
boss.
It done.
His job is boss.
Boss, yeah. And then, you know, the Giants lucked out because they got Daboll who can do both. You know, he can do both. He challenges everyone. That's why, Daniel Jones playing pretty well. He is challenging him. You saw the one where he snapped him on the side. I'm like, bro, like, get it together. You know what I mean? So, I don't know what's going on with Cleveland, man. That's one of, Cleveland and the Cowboys are right now my two, like, disappointing teams right now. Just not, like, mad, like, I care, but, like, just disappointing.
You know? I feel you from your preseason expectations, but I'm surprised to hear you say the Cowboys are in that group.
Well, but because you look at talent and you're just like, yo, like, let's go. You know what I'm saying? So, all good.
I feel where you're coming from because as everybody has told me how bad this season has tried to be, I've been looking around. The Cowboys should be Super Bowl contenders. Like, they should feel like Super Bowl. Like, with Dak Prescott back in fold, when you look at everything, but when you see it on the field, like, I agree with you. I've been waiting for the shoe
to drop.
It's
just disappointing.
Yeah, like it's
like have some. I feel like there's like no fight, especially watching that Philly game. I know it's about Cleveland, but watching the Philly game, it was just like, just bossed around, you know? I don't know. But yeah, no,
especially that third interception by Cooper Rush. I feel like that was when the game was sort of in the balance, but CeeDee Lamb just felt like he didn't even, like, I was aware the ball was coming to him, or just couldn't care less the ball was coming to him. And I get it was a terrible throw, but you'd love to see a receiver play a little defense there.
Yeah, I feel like right now with CeeDee Lamb, I feel like he's digressing. I don't think he's running strong routes. There was one that got batted down early in the game, the first drive. Like, he ran like an angle route, and it wasn't like he was trying to sell it. Like, he's just not running, almost like he's uninspired to run routes for Cooper Rush. The clock struck 12 on Cooper Rush. I just watched it, and it was almost as if he played too much, because he had a straight noodle arm the whole game. Like, there was no velocity on the football. Even like him stepping into the throws, it didn't even matter. That ball was not getting there. So it was almost like he was just like tapped out, you know what I'm saying? So, which works in their favor, because Dak will be back. So,
yeah, that's something that, you know, I don't think I truly considered until earlier recording this with you, when you were talking about tackling somebody and you were like, yeah, well, maybe that DB had a tough time. He's been coming down tackling running backs all day and his shoulder is sore. And it just made me think about, and I mean, because you see these guys hit each other every game. To me, it doesn't register all the time until you see somebody like stay down. But just the concept of how Matt Stafford can have a sore elbow, and it's like that may be causing the idea that Cooper Rush may not have been able to have the arm strength to go week in, week out and complete, you know, or even attempt that many passes on a high velocity.
No, but that's a real thing. Like, we joke, like former players, we joke around like, man, I can get in there right now and make a play, or I can go in there right now and do something. And we always be like, you can give 17 weeks. Can you give 17 weeks? The war of attrition is a beast, bro. And like, do you have the ability to sustain that long? And for him to not play, and now he's the guy getting all the reps and having to do this week in and week out. He probably doesn't even have a recovery routine so he can come back out there and do it again the next Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Right. So
before we go into the lemon pepper parlay for this week 7, let's take another quick break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Will. What's your lemon pepper parlay for this week?
All right, lemon pepper parlay. This is what we're doing here, people. So we got the wonderful Seahawks.
They had
headed to LA. And the one thing that the Seattle Seahawks, they do really well that the Chargers struggle with, is that they can run the football. And right now, K-Dub is getting it done. Geno is so comfortable. He's back there playing like he got a cigarette, you know, in his fingers. That man is straight chilling. And then obviously they got Tariq Woolen, who's able to get the football. He is a cheat code. To be 6'4", running a 4.2, it is like ridiculous. So I like Seattle to cover +7. Also, we got the Dolphins, okay, versus the Steelers. I think, yeah, I like them covering there. And then back-to-back weeks, man. They keep throwing that double-digit underdog on the Panthers. So right now, you know, they got the Bucs at home, 10.5. I like that right there, too. So there you go. You got Seattle, Dolphins, Carolina Panthers.
I'm not betting the Panthers this week. I shouldn't say this. I probably will bet the Panthers this week. I'm not putting them in my lemon pepper parlay because I don't want to get burned by that team yet again. But
go big or go home.
Back-to-back weeks laying 10.5 against the Rams and the Buccaneers are not a touchdown better than anybody in this league, like on paper. I'm sorry. Like maybe the game will play out differently, but the Buccaneers laying 10.5, that number is ridiculous. If you can close your nose and just deal with the stench of taking the Panthers, by all means, I endorse that pick. My lemon pepper parlay this week, I like all three of these teams. I think all three of them have a real potential to actually win the game outright. I'm going first. They've been my darlings all season. The Atlanta Falcons +6 versus the Bengals. Falcons have been, they've run, that run game is real. They control the clock. And I love the way that Arthur Smith has that team. They're a tough team to play. I'm taking the Jets +3 versus the Broncos. The Broncos, worst offense in football still. And again, Broncos defense has been okay, but I don't see the Broncos getting over 17 points. And the Jets have kind of stumbled upon some things with their rookies and Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. And as long as Zach Wilson doesn't cost me this game, I like the Jets to win it outright, but I'm taking the 3 for the parlay. And finally, off the bye, I'm taking the Detroit Lions +7 against Dak Prescott in his return and the Dallas Cowboys. This Cowboys offense has been bad with Cooper Rush. I don't know how much better they get in Dak's first game back, but ultimately, I think
what
he here. No, I mean I don't know how much better.
You don't know how much better. You don't know how much better
in Dak's first game back. Like I said, Dak's first game back. How much better they get in Dak's first game back? I'll have to see.
He forgot how to play football. He forgot how to play football.
Week one, they didn't look great either. I would like to see how he looks off an injury. Man. I don't think that's insane to say. But also, Will Blackman, I'm not picking the Lions because of the Cowboys offense.
So he got worse, and Detroit's going to get better.
No, I didn't say that Detroit was going to get better. What I was about to say before you rudely interrupted me is that this Detroit team, instead of drafting Justin Fields, they drafted Penei Sewell, who has been lights out as a tackle. The offensive line and the way the Lions block up is going to be a problem for the Cowboys. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think it's going to be one where, obviously, 7 is a ton of points to cover. If DeAndre Swift is back, Amon-Ra St. Brown is back, that's the line. If that's the key for the Lions offense. And the other thing, they have to win this game. Dan Campbell's never won a road game. After losing 29-0 to Bailey Zappe and the New England Patriots, if you don't, this is the type of game you don't win this, congratulations. Your odds for next coach fired rather, have skyrocketed. I think Dan Campbell finally gets his first road win here, but I'm taking a 7 for my parlay. Apparently you don't agree.
Well done.
We'll see how well done it is. I don't know. It all could be, you know, it could be well done. It could be raw at the end of this. Depends on how these picks play out. But for Will Blackman, I'm Marvin Weiss. That's Lemon Pepper Parlay for week 7.
Sal, put me on the damn website.